Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable. Welcome back as we continue our recap discussion for the 6th annual NICE project.
You mentioned how much Mitchell did her research, yeah. 10 years of research.
Yeah, that's
and
amazing.
And when they burned Atlanta, and she was able to go street by street with what burned.
I know.
And what order, yeah. It went in, and all these. You could tell that she had done, anecdotes from people's real experiences. I ate that up.
Yeah, I mean, she was doing that research in the mid to late 20s through the publication of the book in what was it, 1936, I think. I can't remember now. You said it at the beginning.
It was 1930s, but I don't remember.
Yeah, 1936. And okay. So you think about the 10 years, 1926 to 1936. She was not using Google, you know? I mean, she was going to historical documents in museums and in war offices and, you know, interviewing people who had, you know, a parent or grandparent who'd been there or something. And so, you know, this is the kind of research that we don't really see that often in today's modern storytelling, you know, because we are so dependent on internet sources, right? We've become a culture of, oh, I can just look that up, you know, and she had a very different method of research that I think is one of the best things that goes into this book. We know when, for example, Ashley is kind of poignantly looking backwards at the Old South, even though he wasn't in favor of slavery, right? He loved the life he had that was built on slavery, correct? And when his character is talking, you know that voice is one that Margaret Mitchell grew up hearing all the time. And when, you know, when Melanie in the book, it's not in the movie, and this is very important, but in the book, when she does not want to move north because she doesn't want Beau to go to a school where black children also attend, that's a voice that Margaret Mitchell heard her whole life growing up, right? So it's very authentic in how she manages to, she being Margaret Mitchell, sorry, how she manages to take life experience and her research and combine them into this story. I think that's probably one of the things that we, you know, on our list of what we like, it's just so darn well written. You know, I mean, it's just a really well-written book.
Absolutely. Absolutely. On to parts we didn't like.
This list could go on forever, but we tried to keep it short. We tried to keep it brief, you know.
Right. Well, obviously, we spent a long time talking about the problematic depictions of black people.
Yeah.
In Scarlett O'Hara's world, she seems to see that there are three types of black people.
Mm-hmm.
They're either happy to serve slaves or former slaves,
mm-hmm.
Depending on this before or after the word, that war.
Mm-hmm.
They are, please pardon me, uppity blacks.
Right.
Or they're rapists.
Right.
That seems to be how Scarlett sees there's three options.
And that is exactly what Margaret Mitchell's life experience told her as a child. That was
right.
How people in the South, in the, you know, in her lifetime and before, saw black people. And unfortunately, I think, you know, we could again address today's issues and say that there are people in our country, one might say 74 million of them, who might also feel that way today. And that's very sad. But I think that you're absolutely right. We reading this book is hard because of the dialect that she uses to represent black people, and because of these depictions of kind of like three categories that the characters have. I don't know if I want to say Margaret Mitchell had those personally, you know, by the time she was writing the book, but definitely for her characters to see black people through their eyes, this is what we get, you know.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So yes, I think it is accurate to the time period, just hard to read from a modern perspective.
And a lot of that is because of the dialect. And I know you listened to the book as an audio book. And reading the dialect is bad enough. Hearing it is like, it's like watching the movie. It's very hard to see and hear the black actors in the movie use the kind of dialect that, you know, the movie required of them. And the book is it's very hard to, you know, to embrace that. It's like, ugh, that, we don't like that, right? What's the fix? I don't know, because we see dialect used in Mark Twain. We see dialect used in The Color Purple. We see dialect used in a lot of other famous and not famous books and movies. But Gone with the Wind seems to be the lightning rod for that problematic issue, I think, the dialect.
Right. And then we've already kind of touched on this, but is Scarlett O'Hara likable?
Yeah.
I definitely did not start out on her side. And even after, you know, she was the businesswoman and the CEO, she had quite a bit of coldness and calculation to her. But I had to say that by the end of it, I'm like, Mitchell has really developed a very complete picture of a flawed human being.
Yes.
And so I didn't like parts of her character, but I also thought this is a really wonderful characterization of somebody who's been through a lot of trauma.
And it's also a good characterization of a woman, and it could be a man, you know, if you think about it, who just really doesn't see herself in a true way. It's like one of the most unself-aware people in the world, you know, right? And we've all met someone like that, male or female, in our lifetime, someone who just absolutely is clueless how they come across to the rest of the world. And, you know, even as she develops and grows in the 10-ish years of the book storyline, she's still very selfish and she's still very self-oriented right up till the very end. I mean, she really doesn't, you know, and that is something that at times in the story is so annoying. It's just like, oh my God. So that's one of the parts that we kind of don't like, is that we just have to endure her whiny, selfish brattiness, you know, for however many hundreds of pages until we get to the very end.
But I will say that now that I've been through this process with you, I understand her.
And it helps.
So even when she's being a brat, I can be like, yeah, that's annoying, but you know.
It also helps us understand her because she is so young when so much of the trauma that she goes through happens. That, you know, there but for the grace of God go I, right? I mean, we didn't have the trauma that she experienced at age 15, 16, 17. So, you know, we have to cut her a little bit of slack in her bad attitudes. But I think, and some of that trauma, you know, plays over into the abusive elements of the story. And I think that that's next on our list of what we don't like, is there is a lot of abusive, violent stuff in the story, not just because of the war, but within marriages, within the white and black relationships. All of that is hard and difficult reading, if you will. So we put that in our list of what we don't like about the book, at the same time having to come to terms with the fact that those are necessary elements of the storytelling, you know.
And also, the marriages were fascinating to read.
All the marriages.
they were not exemplars of, you know, happy, functional, idealized relationships.
No.
We did have a lot of more useful talk about gender roles, economic roles, sexual politics, than, you know, like true, you know, human connection in a lot of those marriages.
Right. I think really, if you look at all the marriages from Scarlett's parents to Scarlett to, you know, any anybody she knows, I mean, any other couples that cross our path in this book. The only one that is even remotely about love is Ashley and Melanie's marriage. And even that is kind of lopsided. I mean, Melanie truly loves Ashley in romantic and all those ways that are normal for a woman in that time period. Ashley, you know, he's lusting after Scarlett on the side all the time. So there are elements of their marriage that aren't even as solid as one might think. You know, if you're thinking about, oh, the movie, and they run across the field to each other when he gets after the war's over, and oh, it's so romantic. Yeah, it is. And that scene is in the book. Yeah. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, even their highly romanticized marriage isn't perfect, isn't, you know, necessarily equal in terms of how they see each other and everything. So, yeah, the marriages in this book. Some of that stuff was so hard to deal with. I mean, we did a lot of analysis on the abusive elements within some of these marriages, and we didn't like that. But again, important to the storytelling. Just right. We didn't like it. You know, it was just uncomfortable. Yeah.
Right.
Join us next time as we continue our recap discussion for the 6th annual NICE project. This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.